the vessel of the Lord according to your purpose and according to your will. And Lord, this is what we pray today. We thank you for the blessing of the Lord upon all of our teachers, Lord, and all that they do for us and all that they give in your name and service to your kingdom. And Lord, thank you for a special blessing of the Lord being on each of them. We give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to the Lord. All right. So a couple of things, just as a way of announcement before we get into the word right here. And and those announcements, there'll be intercessory prayer again here tonight at 4 o'clock. And I want you to keep in mind, all are invited. All are invited. Intercessory prayer. And we've been doing this for a few weeks. And tonight will be our last one of this series, okay? It'll be the last one of this series. I have more to say as we go along about intercession, and I will come back to that subject. I'm touching on it again here today, but at 4 o'clock, from 4 to 5, right here, it's a wonderful opportunity. It's something we have to walk in and go and progress in as a church, as we will, as the Lord leads. And so praise God for that. And for each of us, learn intercessory prayer, not only individually, but corporately as a church. It's important that we do that as a church body. So anyway, that's tonight. And then next Sunday is Pentecostal Sunday. And we will be having our celebration of the day of Pentecost. That's next Sunday. We're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. And, prepare your heart and seek the face of God. Ask the Lord's blessing. And, as the Lord leads, be prepared to share what you'd like to share. We'll have ample opportunity to be able to do that. Okay, I will minister some things about the Holy Spirit, and then we'll have that opportunity as we celebrate, all right? So that's next Sunday. I'm really looking forward to it so much for us having a wonderful, wonderful celebration of the day of Pentecost. That's next Sunday. So you keep those things in mind, if you would, all right, and praise the name of the Lord. Let's go, if we would, to Ephesians chapter 6, to Ephesians chapter 6. The title of this message is just simply put, is spiritual warfare, spiritual warfare. And I know that you've probably heard a lot of subjects on that being preached, and you've studied it, but yet at the same time, I want to make some clarifications and understandings about spiritual warfare. I will talk a little bit about intercession because, that's where that we enter into a lot of times, into true spiritual warfare is through intercession, the work of intercession. I want you to know that according to the word of the Lord, that you are in a war. And you need to know that. And if you're going to win battles, then you need to be able to address the warfare that's going on around you. To ignore it will not cause it to go away. It's not going to go away. And then I just want to start by looking here in Ephesians 6, and we're going to start. I'm going to read from verse 10, 11, and 12, and then I'll make comment as we go along right here. In verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord. And I take great encouragement in that because I see that I'm not to be strong. When he's talking about being strong in Jesus, we're talking about living a victorious life. We're talking about the things that God has given you in Jesus. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about the way of the Spirit. I don't have to figure it all out. It's been given to me to be strong in the Lord. And that's the first point of faith where I begin to believe that this promise has been given to me. Are you struggling? Do you have weaknesses that are going in? Probably. You know, we all deal with those type of things. And maybe repeated weaknesses or whatever it would be, and you wonder why they're there. I'm going to urge you to begin to proclaim and claim over your life the strength of the Lord that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. He will bring it. He will bring it. He will make you more than what you are right now. He will make you more than what you are right now in Christ. Finally, be strong in the Lord. And then he goes on and says, and in the strength of his might. Then he says in verse 11, he says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able, I like this, to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, you need to understand that there are schemes that plotted against you as a believer in order to trap you, in order to defeat you, to bring failure into your life. He wants to destroy you. I don't have to fear that, but it sure is good for me to be aware of it, that the evil one wants to destroy me in any way that he possibly can. You and I have been made in the image of God. You know, we're made in the image of God, and the evil one cannot attack the throne of God. He is a defeated foe. It's a matter of you and I coming into the knowledge that he's a defeated foe, and we begin to stand in Christ, not in ourselves, but we begin to stand in Christ, and we begin to defeat the works of darkness. We defeat the works of darkness first over our own life and the attacks and the schemes that he seeks to bring against me. But then there's another work, and it's the work of the church. And this is where the church, in my opinion, has completely failed. Because what we've abandoned the power of God, and we've come into the ways of men to try to win the world. And we're never going to win the world through the ways of men. We need the power of God. We need to recognize the power of God. We need to recognize the lack of the power of God if we're ever going to really have the power of God. And then we begin to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, and we let the Holy Spirit come and do what only he can do. It's a matter of you and I and our church. This is where we are, and that's where I'm going to address. You know, in our church, that we let the Holy Spirit have his way. And not only that, but we come and we rely upon the Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, we're here to do your business. That's what we are here for. You know, we're not here to get a quick message, a quick fix, you know, a feel good, and then, you know, run and out, and then we go do what we've really been wanting to do, what we really like, what we really enjoy. And that's the majority of most churches. I'll just say it flat out. I make no apology for it. And that's the way the culture is today in the church world. And I'm amazed at the culture of the church world and the way that it is at this particular point in time. Matter of fact, I'm going to skip this, if you don't mind, just a little bit, and I'll come down in verse 12. I'm going to keep on going there for a minute. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, and I'm going to address this in a minute, the rulers against the powers. Then it says, against the world forces, and then it says, of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, a lot of the things that we see going on in the world are not just coming from the hearts of men. They're coming from principalities and powers of darkness in heavenly places. That word forces right there, that word forces, and the Greek word there for forces in both places where it's spoken is cosmo, kratos. You know, kratos, that is the Greek word for dominion, all right? Kratos, you know, God has dominion. You know, it's to express the greatness of the power of Almighty God. Well, this word of this world forces of this darkness that we see around us now and that we are presently in and that we're presently experiencing is not just simply coming from the hearts of men. It is coming from wickedness and coming from wicked men. But as we see it, there are forces of darkness that are behind it all. That word right there, cosmokrato, means a ruler of this world. A ruler of this world. So make no mistake about it. There are rulers in the heavenly places that are of the powers of darkness that are orchestrating what we see happening in the world right now. We need to be aware of that. We need to make sure that we do not fall victim to it. That we do not walk in the culture that we find today. Culture should not rule in the church. It should have no place in the church. But if I have a compromised attitude and I see that victory has nothing to do with but people in the pews, then I will take up every marketing effort of man. I'll take on the cleverness of man. I'll take on the spirit of entertainment of man, and I will do everything that I can to get people to fill the pews because I think that's victory. And we do that instead of pressing in and finding the power of God. The power of God's not been changed. The moving of the Holy Spirit has not been changed. The Spirit of God wants to empower His people. He wants to empower His church. And He wants to bring the victory. It's His victory. It was His blood that was shed for the souls of every single man. It was He who brought forth, bringing liberty to the captives. Do you think that He still wants to do that today? I believe that He really does. But He needs a people. He needs a people that will follow after the way of the Spirit, and they will let the Holy Spirit do in them personally, and then among them as He would like to do. And then comes the power of the Holy Spirit. See, here's what happens in the church and movements today is the Holy Spirit begins to move and everybody cries out and says, we want the moving of the Holy Spirit. But in their hearts, they want the moving of the Holy Spirit as long as it's the way that they approve. And if He comes in any other way that they don't approve of, then they don't want it. And then after the coming and the power of the Holy Spirit, this has happened all down through history to this very moment in time. And that is after the coming of the power of the Holy Spirit, then they want to organize it. They want to organize it. And then they want to take advantage of it for their own purposes. Some of the greatest denominations that exist today started out with great movements of the power of the Holy Spirit that are completely void of the Holy Spirit in any form or any fashion at all today and barely have any resemblance of even being what the Bible calls a church. So we won't dictate to the Holy Spirit. We must let the Holy Spirit dictate to us. You know, and we get so hungry and so desiring of the power of God and how we begin to realize that we can't do this. We can't do this. We cannot do this on our own. And He doesn't look for us to do it on our own, but He wants to bring the power. He wants to bring the power. And there's so many blessings that come with the power of God. There's a lot of people that are just satisfied with the touch, right? Oh, I love the touch of the Lord. I love the touch of the Lord. You know, I've told you this before, and it just bless. God's got His design of special blessings for you, all right, in your walk. And because He's intimate. And that picture is like, you know, marriage. And like man and woman in marriage, you know, an intimacy for you that is only for you. There's those things that we all experience. Well, anyway, so for me, okay, is that I love to dance and sing in the Spirit. You know, I can't dance at all. You say, ask Beatrice, you know. I can't dance at all, right? All right? Now, you know, as far as dancing's concerned. But, you know, boy, the Spirit of the Lord, I open my mouth and I begin to sing in the Spirit. And boy, I just start moving. I just do. And I keep dancing around. I got a path around the kitchen table like you just wouldn't believe, you know. You know, and you know what happens to me immediately, gladness and joy floods my soul. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? And that manifestation didn't happen to me until later on in my later years of walking with God, right? But that manifestation of the Holy Spirit for me, is that I begin to worship and sing in the Spirit in worship of the Lord. And I take a lot of my problems or my pressures or burdens, and that's how I pray about them. That's how I pray about it. And I am praying. I may be singing, but I'm praying. Are you with me there? Right? There's a lot of different forms of praying. And we need to be a people of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you now that He's got a manifestation of an intimate nature that God has designed, especially just between you and Him. Oh, the sweetness of God. Just the sweet, anyway, that's a joy that I have. That's just me, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful for that, but praise the name of the Lord. But this is what happens in the church today. This is what's taking place in the church today. But listen, what is our enemy? What is our enemy? I mean, there are obstacles for being the church that God wants us to be, which is, that we, people are drawn to God. They're drawn to the Holy Spirit. Because people are looking for answers, and they're filled with darkness, right? Their lives are being ruled by darkness. Do you understand it's spiritual in nature? Not natural. We're not trying to be the best salesman that we can be in the community, right? What a disservice that we do to people, because all we're wanting to do is church them. How about getting saved? How about getting saved? How about being born again by the Spirit of God? And this is our mission, okay? It's your mission as a believer, and it's the mission of the church, and it's the mission of Relevant Faith. Are you hearing me there? It's the mission, and we've got to come together in those things and let the Lord lead us in that. I want you to begin to make those a matter of prayer, if you would, because we want it to be the Spirit of God, we want it to be the way of God, and we want it to be all Him, okay? All right, so darkness, what else are we fighting? Is things like deception, a hardened heart, spiritual blindness, sin, okay, bondage and captivity, right? Isn't that our obstacles? Every one of those that I just named are spiritual in nature. They can only be defeated by the way of the Spirit. They can only be overcome and defeated by the way of the Spirit. They will not be defeated through the cleverness plans of man, right? Now, we may make a bunch of them religious. Oh, good Lord, what have we done now, right? We've taken a sinner, okay, and we've made him religious. Oh my gosh, what have we done? What in the world have we done, right? Now a false peace comes in his heart because he's been churched, right? He's been churched, but he's never been saved. Oh Lord God, help us. Help us, right? So you understand, and everybody's welcome, right? Anybody is welcome. Every sinner in all of Owensboro is welcome, but we preach the gospel from the pulpit all the way to the pew. We preach the gospel that there's only one way to salvation, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be saved. So that's our mission, and that's what we do in the Lord. And so we don't want to fall into the marketing ways of men and think that that's the way the success of God comes, because it's far from it. It's far from it, but it's easier. It's easier to go that way. Oh, yeah, it's a lot easier because all the things and the ways of the flesh appeal to us more than the ways of the Spirit because it's natural. It's natural in nature. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, first there is the natural man, and then secondly, there is the spiritual. First comes the natural, then comes the spiritual. So we're more adept right? You know, outwardly, are comfortable with those methods and those ways, but they fall short. They fall short of what the church is meant to be. And they've not gone away. The gifts of the Spirit, that's another thing we're going to pray about next weekend, is going to be gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay, that they be manifested, right? We need gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be a spiritual people. So we see here, right, this war that goes on. Let me read this again. I'm going to now come back up here where I was. You know, I was in verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. And then verse 11 says, put on, now look here, put on, and this has been told to us in the word of the Lord, put on the full armor of God, and you know, that you may be able to stand firm. Isn't that something? In the full armor of God, I don't care what you are in the natural, in the way of the Spirit, you will stand firm. Because God said that. He said you would stand firm. You know, so there's no problem or issue or lack or anything that you face in your life where you say, well, you know, I'm just not made up that way. You know, I'm just not made up that way. You know, I'm not that strong-willed. Or, you know, I just don't have that discipline. Do you know the devil will lie to you about stuff like that? Do you know that the devil will whisper in your ear? It's called a fiery dart, right? That's part of those schemes. And he wants to bring you to defeat in any way that he can. And wants you to stop you from reaching forward. That's what he wants you to do. He stop you from reaching forward. To think in some way you can't. You can't. And so he whispers things. Well, you know what? I'm just not a very disciplined person, right? I'm just not a very disciplined person. You know, you just bought a lie. You just bought a lie because that's not what the Word says. You know, we all have natural inclinations that are of a positive nature, maybe of a negative nature. You know, we wrestle with all those type of things. All of us do in some form or some fashion. But my victory is not in my flesh. My victory is in the Spirit. My victory is that He causes me to stand strong. Are you hearing that? So look at that again. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, I want to say something just a little bit about this full armor right here. You know, that you understand that this full armor is an armor that comes in the Spirit. It comes through the Spirit man that we have become in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from the natural willpower. It's the armor that the Spirit brings on you. It's not a natural armor. You know, a wonderful picture of all that just amazes me is David. When David went out to meet Goliath, you remember the story. You know, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And Saul, you know, said, oh, okay, David. And, you know, there was something about David that was different. And how he viewed things were different because he didn't view them through the eye of the natural. He viewed them through the eye of the Spirit because he was a man of the Spirit. You know, I'll give you an example of that. I wrote this. Now listen to this. This is 1 Samuel 17, 26. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Isn't that an amazing statement that he made right there? You know, he refers to him as being uncircumcised. You know, and the circumcision was the sign of the covenant. And so you understand the David's approach. You see, his mind was the mind of the Spirit. You know, he was no match for Goliath. We're no match, you know, for the insurmountable odds against us as a church to win Owensboro or to be an effective force in Owensboro, you know, as God would want us to be. We can never accomplish it through our flesh. It's by the Spirit, the same as David. We're facing Goliath, you face Goliath, as he faced Goliath. But because he was a man of the Spirit, he was victorious. Well, you know, then later on, you know, as he's getting ready to go, and this is always the way that it is, and that is that, you know, the evil one, that he wants us to put on the armor of the flesh and not to have the armor of the spirit. And so we find that Saul, being the man of the flesh, offered him his armor. He said, before you go out here, I got some armor for you. You know, wow, what an element and a moment of temptation that was. And that's what the evil one still does today. You know, he wants to tempt you to resort to the way of the flesh, tempt us to the resort to the way of the flesh instead of the way of the spirit. And we try to put on the armor of the flesh or the armor of man to defeat spiritual forces that can never be defeated through the way of the flesh. Well, power will never do it. You'll never overcome by willpower. You will overcome because of the Spirit of the Lord and that anointing that has been promised us in the Word of the Lord. Our flesh is weak. The Word says that. Our flesh is weak. You know, but the Spirit of the Lord gives us His strength that we may overcome by His power corporately and individually in our lives before the Lord. I believe that if David would have ever put on that full armor right there, I don't think David would have survived. I don't think that when he let go of that slingshot, you know, and he tried that on. Oh, my goodness, he was close, wasn't he? Whoo! Because he put all that armor on and had it there, and you know, Saul had him a sword and all that, and he had him a bronze helmet. And I'll tell you, if he would have went out in that stuff, he would have been a dead man. That's what would have happened to him. And I mean, and look at this man, Goliath. My goodness, are you kidding me? I mean, there wasn't even a place that you could hit him, right? He was covered from head to toe. He was a massive man. He was a great warrior. He'd been a warrior, it says, from his youth up. And then here comes David. David had taken stones that were out of the brook right there. And this is what, you know, let me refer to that right here for just a moment. Then I'll read this, 17, verse 20 and 38. And then Saul clothed David with armor, and David said to Saul, I cannot go out in these. I cannot go out. Then in the 40th verse, you know, he took up 5 stones from the brook. And he didn't take 5 because he thought he might miss. He took 5 because Goliath, you can check it out, he had 4 brothers. He took a stone for each one. He wasn't relying upon skill. You understand that? He was relying upon the Holy Spirit. It wasn't like, you know, I gotta, you know, get my practices in here. And he just came up on the whole thing. You know, and he was insulted with the Spirit of God over the things, the taunting that Goliath was bringing forth. And it was the insult of God. You know, and then not only this, you know, at the end there, in the 47th verse, and all of that assembly made known to the Lord, this is what David said to Goliath and to all the army of Israel, you know, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. How many times and how many examples do we have to hear that? That the battle belongs to the Lord, right? And of course, you know the story. And he went up there and he was fearless. In the flesh, you'd have to be stupid not to be shaking in your boots. Right? You know, this wasn't natural. This was supernatural. Because he was walking in the covenant faith. And he was clothed with the armor by the Spirit. And he rejected the armor that comes through the flesh. Defeat and failure would come through the way of the flesh. You know what those churches have got to do? They got to change with the culture. what's coming down the pike again in the culture. You know, I never saw a day. I never dreamed that I would see a day, you know, where the thing would be, let's get in church. You know, you got 1 hour to do it. Holy Spirit, if you're going to do it, you better do it in this hour because, man, we're out of here, right? And we ain't going to have anybody coming to our church if we don't do it that way, right? Oh, we got to get with it, man. Get with the culture, right? Get with the culture because that's the only way you're going to be popular is get with the culture. That's Saul's armor. Good luck living up to that one. Because well, I'll tell you what else goes down the tubes is biblical morals. That's the next thing that goes down the tubes is biblical standards, biblical morals. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the power of the covenant. Because when we abandon that, we abandon the covenant. Now where are we? And this is in the way of the world. I had a proud moment that I've never forgot. It's one of my proudest moments. And I was the leader in a covert military operation where we completely annihilated the enemy. Well, it might not have been military. It was a church camp. They may not really been the enemy. You know, it was, I had the junior boys' cabin and then the senior boys' cabin. They had a notorious leader named Doug. Doug. Well, he wasn't really the enemy. He was my brother in the Lord and a member of the church. Doug crossed the line. He crossed the line. Not only were they being so braggadocious, the senior boys, about all winning all of the events that we had, and when I had the junior high boys, and they, you know, we were eating a lot of crow. But not only was that going on at that time, but Doug crossed the line. They went in a cabin, and they stowed my hat. That was too much. So we made a plan. We got our water cannons ready. Okay. We sent out spies to spy out the camp. We made a drawing. We knew where every bed was at. We knew exactly who was in every bed. And then, of course, what I wanted to know was where exactly was Doug. Right? We assigned everybody to what they were going to do. We had those that were going to bust in the doors. And then they were going to give us covering fire as we returned. And we had two by two to every bunk. And then I was hitting Doug, right? We waited till 1 a.m. One in the morning, the camp was quiet. They were fast asleep in bed. And then here we go. We busted in those doors like grease lightning. We didn't need any lights. We knew where everything was at. We hit every bunk with our water cannons. They were fast asleep. I hit Doug with everything I had. And then we turned around and we vacated the premises and we went straight to our cabin, closed the doors, and barricaded the door. We were firebombed all night long. Well, maybe not firebombed, but water ballooned all night long, right? We had sniper fire trying to come into the windows all the time. Well, really, it was water guns, but anyway, but they tried, and all night long. But then the next morning when daylight come, and it was breakfast time, and at breakfast time, they raised the white flag. They were a defeated foe. Well, they didn't really raise a white flag, but you know what? They were very unhappy. You should have seen me and my junior high boys. I'm telling you right now, did we strut into breakfast like nobody's business? Because we had been given the victory. And this is what happens, see, for you and me as we go the way of the Spirit. and I'm going to read a scripture that I've made reference to you before in Romans 8:27. And he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit. This is the value of giving yourself in intercessory prayer. You know, what we had done is that we made a plan. And then after we made a plan, we executed it. Everyone knew their part because we had a mind or a presence of that. You know, a proper mind of attack brings defeat to the enemy. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is a part of those groanings. But it comes by you and I knowing that it's the way of the Spirit that we need to find, not the way of the flesh. We need the armor that comes through the Spirit, and not the armor of man. We need the mind of the Spirit, not the mind of men or of man. And then when that happens, we enter into the plan that comes that only by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what God has in store for every single one of us in Christ Jesus. Because that's how we need the mind of the Lord, because we don't know how to pray as we ought. And that what the Word says is we were looking at that with intercessory prayer. But see, here's where intercessory prayer starts. It starts by you and I giving ourselves for that purpose. You know, when you open your heart and your mind, in other words, I'm not coming to God and I got my prayer list. That's okay to do. That's called petitions. But let's go a step further. Let's go a step further in the way of the Spirit, right? There's a way of the Spirit in which there's much victory in store for you, much victory in store for me, much victory in store for our church, much victory in store for the things that we grieve so much about. And we wring our hands and we're grieved and we're saddened because we say, I just don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to do about it. And in my flesh, there's not a lot that I can. There's not a lot that I can. But there is a way of the Spirit. There is a way of the Spirit. So I want to lift that up to you. That you know, and I don't care how long that you, I'll tell you, is it just for myself, I'm always finding newness in the way of the Spirit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 21 years old. But that does not make me an expert on anything, nor anyone. Don't fall in that trap, been there, done that stuff. Don't fall in that trap. Maybe there's doors to be opened that hadn't been opened yet for you. Maybe there's things in the Spirit that you haven't experienced that the Holy Spirit has got in charge for you. Maybe there's gifts of the Holy Spirit that you have not been able to receive yet for whatever reason that might be, but that He still has not abandoned that for you. And don't judge things according to your flesh, what your natural inclination is, because the way you are in the natural has got nothing to do with the man of the Spirit that the Lord will make you into. You'll find yourself with abilities to do things that are totally, completely out of your character. Kathy, would you all go? Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Let's all stand.